Yeah, I'll work it out. Thank you. Yeah. We just sang that song, a modern version of an old hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." The original hymn was written by a lawyer from Chicago. He was a Christian and he wrote that song after his wife, who he'd sent over from across the Atlantic in a ship with his children, he was going to join them soon after for a holiday. His wife and children were in an unfortunate accident. The ship went down and they all died at sea. He decided to get on another ship and to go and reclaim the bodies and do his duty. And when he was in the Atlantic on the ship, the captain informed him that this was approximately the spot where the ship went down and his wife and children were on. It was on that spot that he penned the words to that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Some of the words, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Quite a statement of faith, isn't it? And I say that because at this time we probably need to hear that. We're in her church today meeting together as fellow, family, church family. You know, and it might not be well with your bank account, or it might not be well with your relative's health or your knee. It might not be well with the government. In fact, it's not well with the government. But I sure hope it is well with your soul. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and of a sound mind. And this is the best thing that we can do, is to join together in obedience to God, to gather and to worship him as his church, unashamed and unafraid, saying, "It is well with my soul." So I pray that by the end of the service, it might be well with your soul, if it's not. Okay. I had no idea what to call this message because it changed about 5 times from when I began, and I just couldn't put it together, and now I know why. So I'm being bold and I'm stepping out, and I did hear another preacher talk about this, and I thought, that's what I've got to bring today. So in the book of Esther, actually I ended up calling it "In These Times." The book of Esther, there's an amazing story about a young woman, obviously her name's Esther, and the story starts just briefly here, I know most of you know it. It starts in chapter 1 and there's a beauty contest. Nothing new in the world, is there? There's a beauty contest. The king, he's the bachelor, and he wants a wife, a queen. There were 127 provinces, and they each sent the most beautiful girl in their area to win over the king. But the one who won and became the queen was Esther. Then comes trouble. A man named Haman, a killer, an evil, evil, wicked man, devises a plan to destroy all the Jews. And so now we're going to pick up that in chapter 4. That's just a very brief overview. We start at verse 1 here. So when Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. That was a sign of mourning. Ripping off the clothes, they were angry and in despair, a sign of mourning. And he went out into the midst of the city and he cried out with a loud and a bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Sackcloth was a coarse cloth of camel or goat hair, and then they would cover themselves with ashes, which was, again, that sign of mourning and despair. Verse 3. And in every province where the king's command and decree had arrived, and this was to kill the Jews, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and wailing, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and the eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai so he could take off his sackcloth and ashes, but he would not accept them. Verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to talk to the king who had not been called, he has but one law, which is to put them to death, except one whom the king holds out the golden scepter, which is basically a staff which symbolised power, that he may live. So she basically, Esther's saying, there is a law, I can't go in and fight for our lives. I can't go in and fight for the Jewish people because I will be put to death unless the king extends a scepter. Verse 13 and 14. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I'm using this story today as an example of the church. It's an amazing because the story starts out with a beauty contest. And I relate Esther as a type of church. Maybe she is the type of the end day, last day church. She's the type of the church and the culture of the church in the time when Christ the King will come again. Firstly, notice it was a beauty contest. She was all dressed up, playing the role of queen. She gets to take beauty baths, beauty treatments. It's all in the Bible. Nothing's new. She's relaxed and doesn't want to get involved with any controversy. She doesn't want to use her voice and so is silent. But there are treacherous and dangerous things happening in the nation, but she's in a beauty contest. It could sound like the church, and I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking specifically of our church. The modern day church, beautiful buildings, excellent decor, beautiful music, beautiful people. The culture is unaffected. But there comes a time in a nation and there comes a time in the kingdom when God says, beauty contest is over. And there's nothing wrong with having, we are blessed to have no debt and money in the bank and this beautiful building. But we don't come to worship our building. We come to worship God, don't we? And we must also have that spirit of excellence because we're coming to the King. But not perfectionism. I mean, we've learned a few times when technology's failed us and let us down that it's actually not all about that. It's about coming to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's why we're here. And I believe He's allowing a shaking of the church in general. You know, just things that I read and see other churches, they're being shaken. And it's okay because God's just sorting out His people to see who is going to be faithful in the end. And I believe that we're living in a day now where no longer the church can be in the beauty contest with the beautiful things and the beautiful music, but nothing else changes. The truth of the Word of God and to worship Him must be our priority. But what amazed me is that Mordecai, he gets this burden. He's desperate and he tears his clothes to show that and he challenges Esther to come out of the beauty contest and get into the fight for the nation, the fight for the sons and the daughters and the children and the grandchildren and the generations to come that would perish if she did nothing. And he began to cry out to her that you cannot remain silent. I believe that as a church we need to wake up. The church is getting a shake up. And if we don't get involved, we're going to lose our children and our children's children and we're going to lose our freedom of speech. We will lose freedom of religion. We will lose freedom of worship. We are going to lose it. It's not just something that you can go through like a beauty contest and say, well, that's not my problem. Mordecai said to Esther, have you come into the kingdom for such a time as this? And I thought about that. We're here for such a time as this. We're here now for that reason. God didn't just mistakenly put us in the wrong generation. We're here for now for such a time as this. And as you know, when I said before in verse, I think it was 11, Esther heard Mordecai torn his clothes and put on the sackcloth and ashes, and the scripture says that she bought him new garments and she sent them there. It could be like, well, just put on your new stuff. Just, you know, we'll just cover that up. Just do that. But he refused to do that because he wasn't going to pay homage to Haman. And maybe it could be likened to the church today, you know, who do their thing and have their perfect songs and their perfect message and their perfect this and their perfect that, and we go home and we just put on our garments and we talk about and think about what makes us happy. But the end times are happening in our times, people. And we need to see the threat to freedom and what is going on in the world. In some ways, I think the church has been disconnected. Families are falling apart. Marriages are falling apart. Cultures changing with redefining of genders. And all kinds of things are happening. And I can't tell you how many emails and just messages that I've seen come up with all the things that are going on at the moment. But we can't be a church that doesn't speak the truth. We need to keep our messages on the truth, and I know we do. We can't be worried if we lose people because we offend people, because it's the word of God. We can't be silent, and we will speak the truth in love and with grace, because we are in times of grace. And we do not hate anyone who has either left the church for whatever reason or for people who don't know God and are living in a way that we wouldn't approve of. I strongly believe that love and grace will bring people back. Love, godly love, not judgment. We must have a kingdom perspective on this. He's the judge, not us. Our job is to love one another and to love our neighbours. And if they're our neighbours, we need to love them. Nobody is beyond the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No amount of money can satisfy your soul. No amount of power can fill the emptiness that you have if you don't have Jesus. And no one is too broken or down and out for Jesus. And the Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. It's real. And I'm not saying this today to stir us up in a way, but I'm preaching it today to get us woke up. Real wokeness needs to hit the church. And I've heard that word a lot lately. I'm like, what does that mean? A state of being aware. Okay, I don't sit and watch the news all night because I don't want to know some of the stuff, but I need to be aware. We just need to be aware and not in fear. Jesus says, do not be afraid. How many times does he say that? But be aware. You see, what the world really hates is this. And they really hate what it says. And it made me think of Billy Graham. The Bible says. The Bible says. And now it reminds me of what Sandra says. What does the word say? What does the word say? See, it doesn't really matter what my opinion is of gay marriage or transgender or whatever. My opinion is what the Bible says. And I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to be ugly. I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to harass anyone out there for what they believe. But our rights of freedom of speech are being threatened right now. In the book of Esther, when she arose and she said to Mordecai, I can't go to the king because there's a law that says I can't go in there. And Mordecai says, you need to test that law. If it's out of line with God's, and if it's out of line with what God is telling you or what the word says, maybe it's time that we need to test the law. And it's going to come. When grown men are allowed to go into your granddaughter's or your daughter's restrooms at school or sports games, maybe it's time to test the law. I saw something yesterday. The Sydney Opera House has had to apologise after women were forced to walk past men in urinals in its all-gender bathrooms. It's happening. It's time to stand up. And someone stood up, people stood up, and now the Opera House is rethinking it. Must have been some outside thing. But what's happening to our system when you go on a medical site requiring information or you're filling out forms, you expect that you'd feel safe with people of great intelligence that know the human body. And one of the first things that you're asked is, are you a male, a female, or other? We have to unite. We can't be left, right, or any black or white or anything else. we must come under one thing, the Word, and understand that our very existence is on the line. If we're going to preserve this nation and the freedom of speech and the freedom of worship, or even the justice that we desire. And I love what Mordecai said. Well, you're going to get killed if you do or if you don't. Take the risk. Take the risk. What have we got to lose? She was going to die because she was a Jew, so she took the risk. But, you know, it is coming to our families if it isn't already. It's coming to our homes. We're watching things come before us, and they're coming at a fast rate. Have you noticed that? It's one thing after another thing. It was, you know, gay marriage, it was climate change, it was, I don't know, it just keeps coming. And now the transgender thing seems to be the big thing at the moment. And we're all going to stand before God one day, and I believe that we are the generation that must fight for our freedoms. Otherwise, we're just leaving it to our children and our grandchildren. It might be too late. End times are happening in our times. So how the heck do we do this? What can we do? How do we fight? There's times when we need to speak up, but our battle is not with flesh and blood. We are not to go out and fight people physically, but we're to be on our knees. We are to fight this war spiritually on our knees, praying and crying out to God for our children and for the future generations. We need to make hell tremble with our prayers. When you look in the Bible, when you look at when there was wars, God fought the battle, but the people submitted to him. Jehoshaphat, they just went out and worshipped, and God fought that battle. Our battle is on our knees, and there are times when we need to speak up. I'm not about putting out placards and going storming the streets with things, and God bless the people that do stand up for things. I think there's a time, and sometimes there is a time, and other times I think it just causes, I don't know. Anyway, that's, yeah. But on our knees is where our battle should be. To make our nation great and our community great, we need to make our God great. We need to make our God great. Will you be like Esther? You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so we need to be praying and worshipping, because they're the keys, I believe. And I've been talking about having a prayer and worship night. Well, we're going to have one, and I will tell you the date next week, because we're having a leaders' meeting this week. And I thought we might have it on a Sunday, so you could either go away and have lunch or bring your sandwich, whatever, and then, you know, so that people that live for a distance don't have to come back another night or another whatever. So we need to be on our knees, and I think it needs to be a regular thing once a month to start, because it's time. It's time. So could we stand for a moment? Can we raise our hands and can we say, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, because he is coming again. And there is a whole generation that must be reached. And Lord, we need your help. Amen. Amen. You know, be seated again. I wasn't going to read some of these, but Christian chaplains are at risk of being taken out pretty much now, which we thought would happen. I don't know about scripture teachers. Because the churches pay for them, that could be different. You know, we heard yesterday that the Supreme Court overturned the rulings for abortion in America. It's got people up in arms. But I wonder if the churches were praying. I wonder if they were on their knees. I wonder whether we can change things. There's another thing I read on the Telegraph, that the female inmates are now at risk from trans women in prisons. Like, the world's gone mad. It's just gone mad, and what's acceptable to the world is not acceptable. And, you know, now these female inmates are up in arms. What about this one? A young British man who had his genitals removed during a gender reassignment surgery is suing the NHS over the operation in an historic legal action. He complains that the doctor did not warn him of the drastic outcome of the body-altering surgery, which has left him infertile. incontinent and feeling like a sexual eunuch. He said after the surgery, the minute he woke up, he knew he'd made the biggest mistake of his life. You see, even our children now in Canberra, the laws are passed in Victoria, in Canberra, children can decide if they want to be a boy or a girl, and parents cannot change their mind or tell them to change their mind. Pastors cannot pray for them or give them counsel on that. They can't vote, they can't drink, they can't drive, but at this age they can decide what they want to be. They don't know anything. And these are the things, as young parents, there's some young parents in the room, you know, we need to be praying for you guys. You guys need to be standing up, because we're all in this together, and we're all praying for one another's children and one another's grandchildren and the generations. Wow. So there's been things that are just, you know, there's a meeting for the LGBT, I don't know all the rest of the numbers, and it was in town. I'm not going to say where, but I was horrified when I saw who was where it's being hosted, because the church is compromising the word. I never want to compromise the word. If I ever do, tell me, slap me down. We have to speak the truth of God. We need to come and worship him in spirit and in truth. So let it be well with your soul. Don't be in fear. Just be on our knees. And you know who we're going to need more than ever? Is the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying in the Spirit. And let him lead. He knows what needs our prayer. He knows that. And if we will allow the Holy Spirit to do a greater work in us, we will be in tune with these things and what he wants us to do in these times that we're living in now. So don't be afraid, but just be aware. Just be aware. We can all be praying at home, and that's the perfect thing that we can do, is to pray at home. And but we're going to have that prayer meeting in the next few weeks. And if you're not here, that's cool. It won't be Zoomed. We're just going to come, and if we haven't got a computer or a microphone, doesn't matter. We're going to pray anyway, and we're going to worship God anyway, because it's just about him now and us just being on our knees and crying out for our nations. So let's finish this morning with some beautiful worship again.